Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Welcome to Midweek Motivation. We are in our series of How Do We Bear the Likeness of Christ? And last week we talked about God Most Holy. And this week our theme is God Most Loving. So I want to begin by sharing a little experience I had back when I was a Camp Ozark camp counselor in Mount Ida, Arkansas. It was a summer between my college years, and I was a kindergarten camp counselor. So we had all kindergartners in our cabin. Michelle was my co-coach, captain. We had a wonderful summer together. And one exchange weekend when parents picked up their kids and then more kids came, either by their parent or some came on buses. Well, it was very interesting that Michelle and I were out there by our cabin up on the hill, hoorahing and cheering and greeting and meeting our new cabin mates, and up pulls a limousine. And out of the limousine comes a chauffeur. And the chauffeur walks around and opens the back door, and out come two little girls whose parents were, well, the father was a foreign diplomat and he was over here for the summer. And so he sent his girls not just for 1 2-week session, but for 2 2-week sessions. So for 4 weeks, they attended Camp Ozark and were in Michelle and I's cabin. Kindergartners, mind you. So they get out of the limousine and seemed a little intimidated, and the chauffeur got out their luggage, and Michelle and I are greeting them and saying, "Welcome to our cabin," and leading them up in to the cabin so they could pick their bunks. And those 4 weeks, I personally, and so did Michelle, we got to learn so much from these little girls about their culture, about their experiences, about what they thought of being here in the United States, and especially being at Camp Ozark as experiencing that, which was all so very new to them. And so one little exchange that we had one afternoon, it was the two girls and I, and it was like mishmash where you got to choose your own activity. And I was working in the arts and crafts cabin. And so we had a break and they wanted to go up to the photography area where you could take pictures or just look at different pictures that had been taken and were on display. So we were sitting out on the steps of the photography cabin and just kind of chilling and talking. And one of the little girls said something about like supper that was coming up or something. And I think it was Red, White, and Blue night. So that was always the event night that we had, you know, it's kind of like a 4th of July theme, Red, White, and Blue, Uncle Sam, fireworks. And it was always a grill, like we grilled out. And so instead of eating at the chow hall, we would actually have like a barbecue, hot dogs, hamburgers, french fries, whatever. And so I was asking them about if that was food items that they enjoyed eating, if they were excited about those activities. And they were like, yes. And one little girl said, you know, I like french fries or whatever. And I said, I love ketchup. And they both kind of giggled. And, you know, I kind of thought that was interesting. I thought, well, maybe they don't like ketchup. And then at the time, My now husband, Cliff, was also a camp counselor. He was actually the one who got me even to the awareness of Camp Ozark. I didn't know anything about it, but he had worked there for several years. And so they knew that Cliff was a counselor there at the camp as well. There wasn't time for really mingling between counselors or anything, but he was one of the Caddo chiefs. Like each 2 weeks, you would have an Osage chief and a Caddo chief, and they would dress up. And each camper was either on the Osage or the Caddo tribe, and we had competitions. It was very, you know, just affirming. We always had the fit awards, like first is third. You put God first, others second, and yourself last. So, you know, it was a Christian camp. Anyway, these girls were aware of who Cliff was. And so somehow it came about later, because again, they were here for 4 weeks, that Cliff was like my boyfriend. And so I remember they were talking to Michelle, and I like walked up onto the porch of our cabin, you know, days, week later, and they were like giggling again. And so I walk into the cabin and Michelle comes up after me and she's like, okay, I think they've figured out that Cliff is your boyfriend. And I'm like, how did they know that? And I think it was because with a stomach bug went through our cabin. And so girls were literally like getting up in the middle of the night and like upchucking. And so I ran across the where the little cabins are together. Guys are on one side, girls are on the other. So I ran across in the evening and knocked on Cliff's cabin because he had two other counselors in there with him. And so he ran over just to help, to have more people there helping, Michelle and I and him. And so I think that's how it first became maybe known that, like, why was that who you ran to? Anyway, so long story short, I went back out and the girls, you know, are like still giggling. And I said, okay, you know, like, what's up? And I remember them saying, like, do you love Cliff like you love ketchup? And then, you know, they were giggling, laughing. And I said, well, no, I mean, there are different levels of love. And of course, we were talking to them in the evenings. And when we would go to Vespers and then our cabin devos, we're talking about loving God and loving Jesus. And our whole goal was to make an awareness to them of the fact that, you know, we needed to accept Jesus, his love into our hearts, especially at the kindergarten level. We just wanted to expose them to who God was, who Jesus was, and that he loves us. And so I remember thinking, like, how do I explain that there are different kinds of love? And so I asked them, because their first language was not English. And so I asked them about, well, what would you say about loving, like, your parents, loving ketchup, loving a friend, and like loving a boy? And they actually said different words. They had a different word in their language for like the love, like of ketchup, the love of a parent, and the love of a friend or a boy. And so it reminded me of the four words for love in the Greek language. And so starting this whole episode about God most loving, I reflected back on that experience with those two little kindergarten girls who couldn't understand why in English we said the same word love for multiple things, some of which were, I mean, like ketchup, all the way to God, with friends and family there somewhat in the middle. And so just for those of you listening here today, I wanted to just remind us that there are different levels and types of the word love used in the Bible. The first one is agape, and that is the word used to describe the love of God. And the word agape occurs a whopping 259 times. And then eros, it's the word used to describe more of a romantic love. And then philia is the word used to describe brotherly, sisterly love shared between peers or friends. And then storge is the word used to describe a parent's love for a child. And so looking at just the Bible's use of those terms, it can be used sometimes as a noun or sometimes in the verb form or tense. Philia is used 54 times in the New Testament. And like I said, agape occurs 259 times. But the word storge and eros does not occur at all in the New Testament. So I just think sometimes we take for granted in our English language that the love of God is the same as a human love or a food that you love, or even a pet that you love, or a friend that you appreciate, or a family member that you hold dear. Sometimes we forget to reserve a higher level of love that God has for us. It's a love beyond familiarity. It's the love beyond romance. It's the love beyond you just want to hang out with that person. Agape is an act of the will. It's an intelligent, purposeful attitude of esteem and devotion. It's a selfless, purposeful, it's an ongoing attitude that desires to be near to the one loved by or that you love. In other words, agape does not merely feel, it acts. 259 times the Bible describes a love that acts. Agape is the word the Apostle Paul used to describe why God sent the Son, Romans 5:8. But God shows his agape for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Agape is the word Jesus used to instruct his disciples regarding those who hate him. But agape your enemies, Luke 6:35, and do good, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. We are not left to wonder at agape's scope or nature. It is agape that 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8 describes. Agape is patient and kind. Agape does not envy or boast. And it's often used and read at weddings, but it's in reference to God's love for us. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Agape bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Agape never ends. Never ends. And so it's read at weddings, but it's challenging a couple that's only going to ever understand the eros love or even the philia love. It's beyond that love. It's God's love, agape. It's unconditional, selfless, sacrificing, unending, active, supernatural. It is so far apart from human love. It's love with the power of the Holy Spirit because it originates in God. It's enabled by God. It's unbound by the limits of earthly forms. So I just want you to think about that kind of love, agape, as we talk about God most loving. And let us never limit it or link it to, I love ketchup. I love my friend. I love my husband. I love the color teal. I love my dog. I love my grandchildren. I love my children. I love my church. I love my house. I love my car. You get it? I love a new pair of jeans. I love my shoes. Do you understand that? And God's love is holy, which is what we talked about last week. And God's love is infinite, and God's love is without bounds. And we need to learn then, with that type of love, what does that mean for us? Well, in Jen Wilkins' book, In His Image, she writes, when we begin to follow Christ, we resolve to love God even if it costs us. And it does cost us. It costs us our pride, our comfort, our self-will, and our self-sufficiency. And she continues, the countlessness of agape is the costliness evident on the cross. Those who resolve to take up their cross resolve to love as Christ loved in a costly manner. She continues, at times it costs us amicable relationships with family. It costs us our own expectation. It means that we lay what we want aside and we learn the worthiness of the object of our love in a deeper way. And I love this sentence. She writes, we find increasing freedom, and as we mature, we resolve to love God no matter what it costs us. So sometimes, especially when we're looking at our feel wheel, what we are actually fighting is our will versus God's will. And so one of the extra resources we passed out on site on Wednesday is basically some Christian virtues that as we mature as daughters of the King, we will recognize that we are fighting between our humanness and our call to holiness. And so one of those virtues is hope. And the quandary we have is my hope in self and the world, or do I really hope in God? And if we really hope in God, then we should be able to love Him no matter what. The next virtue is will. Are we fighting our will, our idea, our design, our comfort level against God's will? Because He is going to ask us to give up self-sufficiency and lay it all down in surrender and accept whatever cost it is He's asking us to lay aside, to be loved in a deeper way, to have an increase of empathy. And that's maturing us in our faith. We can't just stay where we have been and continue to remain there. He's going to ask us to continue to be more faithful, more trusting, and in more of a surrender state. And He's not doing it because He's disciplining us or He is wanting to discourage us. He's wanting to grow us. His desire is to grow us more to understand His level of agape love for us. And we, in turn, can have a deeper reliance and a deepening of love for Him first, and then others second. So, this centers me back on what we have been talking about with taking our true emotions in the moment and allowing those to lead us to God's truth. Because sometimes our emotions are a trap. So think of it as this wheel is ultimately guiding us to His will. This wheel leading us to God's will. And understanding deep down, you have to know that He agape loves you. So nothing that you are going through that you've gone through or that you will go through is to do any harm to you. It is totally to continue to ask us, do you agape me? I agape you. Will you lay your life, choices, self down and surrender to me? Will you give me your brokenness? Will you give me your joy? And will you understand that I am doing it and it may cost you, but I am doing it to design you to be more like my son, Jesus? So I'm going to take this opportunity and just walk through where I am in this moment on the feel wheel. So the first question we ask ourselves is, what center word best describes how you have felt most this week? And my answer for today is happy. If you continue exploring that emotion, what word would you choose next? So from happy, I read through those second tier words and I went to optimistic. What additional emotion did that lead me to? I read through the third tier and it took me to inspired. And I wonder what God's word has to say about that. And so what character of God that intentional emotional walk led me to was God is loving. When I turned it over to look at the scripture reference bank, there were multiple references. I prayerfully look at it and say, Holy Spirit, please reveal your truth to me. And Lamentations 3:22 through 24 is the scripture reference that got my attention most. And I'm going to be honest, I don't read in Lamentations just a whole lot. So I thought, I want to see what Lamentations 3:22 through 24 has to say. And so I'm just going to read it to you. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. This is totally a passage about encouragement. It's the idea that each day is a new opportunity to experience God at work in me, around me, and through me. So I'm going to keep reading. So I'm going to keep going to verse 25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. And I feel that goodness because the Lord is my portion. And he does meet with me every morning because I am faithful to pursue and seek to meet with him. I'm going to keep reading verse 26. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It encompasses the word abide, that I abide with him, seeking to enter into a deeper relationship with him. Verse 27, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. What that said to me was, examine your posture. Examine your posture. Are you fighting with the yoke of your God? When he says, listen, I'm wanting to train you. I want to put this yoke on, and the yoke is not to bear weight. The yoke is to take weight off of you. I'm going to guide you, but are you fighting it? I mean, think about an oxen. If you wanted to put a yoke on an oxen to pull something heavy, and what if he fought against that? Versus just accepting the weight of that yoke, and the minute he's yoked up, he just rests in it. And he just says, I allow you to guide me. I allow you to lead me along the way. So that made me just realize that it is best the younger, the sooner that we can, and either young as a Christian, like your spiritual maturity level, or young in age, both. But you might think, well, I haven't been a Christian that long. That's okay. You are in the youth phase of your spiritual maturity, or you might have been a Christian for many, many years. What this verse says to me is the sooner, the younger, the earliest you can decide just to accept the yoke of God, be yoked with Him and allow yourself to be led, which is an examine your posture. And then verse 28, let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. So accept that yoke, and it always takes me back to Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I love to flip it then. I am God. Be still and know. So sometimes when I think I'm fighting or wrestling in my emotions or in my circumstances or in my situations, or I'm praying for someone else and I'm like, why isn't this happening? I realize, whoop, Paulette, examine your posture, know that He is God, and be still. So I just want you to realize that emotions, positive or negative, should still be examined within the character of God and His Word. So that is one wonderful example of where my emotions are in an amazingly good place. I am very inspired and optimistic, partly about what the Holy Spirit is awakening and doing through our Women's Wednesday. What is being ignited within the small groups, what women are coming back and saying chains are being broken, what the leaders are experiencing, how the leaders have stepped up and how they are going beyond their role of just a participant to leadership and mentoring, and how the Holy Spirit is, through the Word of God, maturing each of us. So that is so dynamically inspiring. I'm just like, yes, God, you know, no one could have done this. This is only through You. That's why I'm happily, optimistically inspired. And I look at it and it's because God is a God of love. Because agape is beyond what we could even imagine. He knew what He wanted to do for women, His love without bounds, years and years and years ago. And He called different women to Northwest Arkansas, to New Life Church for different reasons, from different seasons, to put them in the room, to have this podcast, to reach audiences that couldn't be in the room because of His steadfast love. He loves us that much. He loves us more than we can even comprehend what love is. We can't even understand His level of love. His love that expects nothing in return. But He offers us everything. He offers us everything. And all He says is, you know, I've sent My Son Jesus. My Son Jesus is the way for you to exist in My will now and exist with Me forever in eternity. I'm going to read Psalm 86:15 to you. But You, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And if you read the Bible, you will see over and over again that idea of steadfast love. Steadfast love. So I was looking that up to know just a little bit more about what does it mean, steadfast love? And what it said, what I loved about what I found was it said, the steadfast love of God can be learned in your own life by remaining steady in Him. So I'm thinking, I understand that His steadfast love has no limits. And I can't even put in my mind what that steadfast love looks like, because it's agape. So the only way I can continue to increase my understanding of God's love is to steadily remain in His Word, steadily remain in prayer, steadily maintain a conversation with Him, steadily meditate on God's Word, steadily ask the Holy Spirit to convict me when I am stepping out of God's will, steadily ask the Holy Spirit to affirm me so that I remain in pursuit, seeking Him purely and humbly, seeking to be righteous, seeking to be joyful, to remain faithful, to know that He is God most holy, God most loving. Those two characters that we have just begun to study from this wheel are so vitally important to us because that's the crux of everything. When we are in despair, or when we are doubting, or when Satan is offering us something so that our soul is not at rest, it bottom line comes back down to, is my hope in myself or is my hope in God? Am I secure in my will or am I secure in God's will? And what's scary about it is we don't see His plan. He doesn't come and bring it to us on paper for approval. He doesn't give us a timeline. It's that blind faith and trust that He is expecting us to have. And where I can relax and rest in it is because He agape loves us. He loves me so much. I should have no problem whatsoever saying, I know You've got this. I know You've got this, God. I can still take my concerns to Him, my fears to Him, my despair to Him, my frustration to Him, my sadness to Him. I can still take that to Him, but I should take it and lay it down in surrender, almost in honor of the fact that this is where my human emotions are, but I trust You. You are bigger than this. You agape love me. So I know You've got this. I just want to express to You this is what I'm feeling, but I'm going to claim Your character. I'm going to claim Your character. I'm going to trust Your will. I'm going to walk it out with You. I'm going to accept the yoke. I am going to rest in Your discipline. I am going to delight in Your word. Colossians 3:16, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Galatians 5:16, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. 1 John 2:6, whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. John 14:26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Psalm 119:160, all Your words are true. All Your righteous laws are eternal. Proverbs 4:7, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. So what I'm reminding you of is, how are you seeking God's truth? How are you seeking God's truth? And you may already have a reading plan of the Word of God. You may already be using an app. You might be reading a book of the Bible. You may already have the Bible study that you are using to guide you to the Word. And that is wonderful. Don't waver from that. As you read the Word of God, how are you seeking to apply that truth from His Word? And for those of you that often have emotions that you don't really know what to do with, or maybe you don't know how your emotions and reading God's Word can be aligned, that is what this resource is for. It's for read God's Word however you choose to read it. But if your emotions are such that it's almost like fighting with your ability to read God's word and apply a truth, then use those emotions to guide you back to His word. Use them. Use them. Maybe that is His way of igniting a need to be drawn to him. Maybe he's saying, do you see in this situation that you can't do it alone? Come to me, dear daughter. And this is just one avenue to allow what you are feeling to guide you to the person who created you with those feelings. And it's the ability for us to say, God, I recognize my humanness, but I desire your holiness. I desire your character. I desire to learn more about your character so that I can emulate it and take it and put it on like a coat, that the fragrance and the aroma of you will be on me so that I may think like you want me to think, speak like you want me to speak, and do what you want me to do, so that others may just see a mere glimpse of your son Jesus in my walk, and that I may point others to you because of what you are doing in my life. And remember, we don't have to be perfect. We never will be. We are in a process. He is moving within us to move us. And as he moves us, he's asking us to gather other people in and just let them see our personal relationship with God and what God is doing in our lives. It's our testimony. It's our story. And we can use it to bring him glory and let other people see this is just what I do. I go to the Word of God. I pray the Word of God. I claim the Word of God. And this might be a tool that you can share with someone else and just help them learn how to walk it out. And what we're doing is we are allowing ourselves to be drawn to him and drawn to his word. That's all it is. And I'm also going to read Psalm 42. I was reading this in my one-year Bible app that I'm doing along with NLC. And I just thought, yes, this is so affirming. Let me turn to it. Psalms 42. Why are you cast down, O my soul? This is verse 5. And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. So I thought, yes. And in my Matthew Henry commentary, it says, when the soul rests on itself, it sinks. If it catches hold on the power and promise of God, then that's when the head can be kept over the billowing waves. So it just reminds me that sometimes our misery is a choice. We've chosen to remain in misery because we have forgotten that we should remain in God and his word and his mercies and his holiness and his love. So it brings me back to what I like to remind myself is that we have the choice of what overwhelms us. We have the choice of what overwhelms us. We can either be overwhelmed by God and his character and his love for us and his faithfulness, or we can be overwhelmed by our emotions and our situations and our circumstances. If we're looking at the what is happening to us and not the who it is that has us, then we are going to be overwhelmed by the things of the world. But it's our choice. We get to make that decision and we get to decide who else we want to walk that out with. Who's your community? Who is your accountability? Who do you gather together with? Who do you vulnerably share with? Who's cheering you on? None of us are supposed to do it alone. I know you've probably heard me say this also. We're called to a personal relationship with God. We're not called to a private one. So share it. Share it. Share where you are with others. Let other people see your growth. Let other people gain from your victories. And let other people hear when you're in a place that you need the power of prayer and other people around you cheering you on. Satan calls us to isolation. That's what happens. Satan calls us to isolate ourselves and just kind of sit in our feels. And God calls us to community. He calls us to experience His love through the love of others, even though that friend love will never be the same as His agape love. He still calls us and offers it to us. It's still a representation of an aspect, just an nth of the love He has for us. So I'm so excited for you all to continue to explore this for yourselves. We would love you reach out to your coaches, reach out to me. We love to hear the glows and the grows that you're experiencing. Several women have already reached out to one of us and just said, wow, this is what's happened for me. This is how God is using this to break the chains of lies that Satan's had over me. They'll send me pictures of the verse in the Bible that they've highlighted. Sometimes they'll send me just how they've walked out the will. You know, so real quick, they'll send me a text that they'll say, like, here was my emotional walk today. Happy, optimistic, inspired, took me to God is loving, took me to the verses, Lamentations 3, 22 through 24. And then, you know, like a big pow sign or the flame sign. But it's just somebody to share that victory with. Someone that you are praising God for how He is moving in your life. Someone that you're saying, yes, do you see how He can show up? He will always show up for us. He will always somehow affirm to us that He sees us, He hears us, He loves us. Even if we don't see an end to our circumstance, He will make Himself available to you for you to know, I am here. I am here for you. Just believe. Keep your hope. Keep your faith. Keep your trust. Keep centered on me. Meet me in my word. Meet me in my word. I'm going to pray for us today, and I am just so excited for the continuation of each of you seeking God's truth, seeking to apply that truth, and if these resources are something that's going to help you be led to the characters of God. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. I thank you for this space and place that just together right now, we are one in union with our desire to remain in pursuit of you, that we desire to meet with you in your word, that we desire as daughters of the King to grow in a deeper relationship with you, to examine your character, to claim your character, to pray your words back to you, to bring glory and honor to your name, to allow others to see the victories that we are seeing because of you, the battles that you are winning in our lives, the surrendering that we are making, the laying down of self and laying down of our own will and laying down of our timelines, that we know you love us, agape. We know that you have our life in the best design. If we would allow the yoke, if we would rest in your guidance, if we would release the questioning, and when our emotions, positive and negative, can guide us back to you and your word, and we can be affirmed by your truth, then that is another way that we can see that you have everything in the best for us, that we never have to doubt why, when, where, what, if we center ourselves on you, the who. You created us for a purpose. You simply ask that we seek to know you more. And by seeking to know you more, we can seek to walk in the way your Son walked. May we be more like Christ and less like us each day. May we find our community that we can vibrantly be victorious in. If there is any in this listening audience that does not have at least one other person that they can go to, that they trust, that they can be vulnerable with, that can hold them accountable, I pray that you will allow them to bring someone to mind that you are prompting them to reach out to or to invite. If they are able to join us on Wednesdays when we gather at NLC, I pray that they will be bold enough to reach out to me or one of the coaches and walk in that room. That Satan is bound from the idea that they're too late or they're not wanted or that they would be embarrassed or that they're not sure, that you would allow your Holy Spirit to let them boldly know that we are a community that wants more and more and more and more and more women to join us. That it is a safe place for us to assume a posture of humility and that we are there in pursuit, that we are there to cheer on each other, that we are there to gather as God's girls, that our goal is to look more like you and less like us. That it's an army fighting against ourselves and the world, that we realize that it is easier to surrender self, and it is delightful to be overwhelmed by joy, to be overwhelmed by your agape, to be overwhelmed by your faithfulness, to be overwhelmed and at rest and receive your peace. If our posture is trusting you. Heavenly Father, I love you so. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to make a way for each of us to have the Holy Spirit now and to spend eternity with you if we simply ask him into our heart. If we simply say, forgive me. You saved me. Live within me. Holy Spirit, thank you for being my best friend, my comforter, my guide. In your Son Jesus' name, amen. I hope you can reach out to someone and join us on a Wednesday when we gather at NLC. I love you so. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.